Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
I want to start a new series today, and this new series is called Preparing Your Destiny, Preparing for Your Destiny. And this will be going back over a lot of stuff, but putting some more meat on the bones to stuff so that we can all move forward together. And that's a real important key. Right. Okay, so this whole message really is about, for each of us, enabling us to enter into the things that God has actually got for us as individuals and for the things we need to enter into as a church. Now, that prophetic timetable is the basis of it, and these messages will really be about the bottom two layers of that. A call to intimacy, where we're called into to be a habitation of God, and we've been invested with our identity and authority, and the gathering and removing of stumbling blocks, things that hinder us in moving forward in the purposes of God. So investiture, intimacy, to know God, by encounter, not knowledge. It's not head knowledge, it's not intellect. You don't have to be smart to know God. You just have to give him your life. So God wants to restore our identity and authority to fulfill our destiny. It's a revelation of the rulership mandate that you have been given by God to bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth, to manifest it. Now, there is a frequency or a vibration, a sound that's coming out from heaven right now. Every time I'm here in the presence of God in worship, I spend virtually the whole time with my eyes closed, and I'm seeing visions all the time. This morning I saw lots of different visions of Jesus, particularly the fire that was coming out from his eyes and his body. And there's a sound that's being released. And this sound means something. There's a symbol that goes with the sound. I'm not going to sing the sound to you. You need to get that sound in your own spirit. But I can hear it lots of times when I'm starting to engage with God. And I know if you know in the past, have any of you seen a film called Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Seen that film? In that film, this guy is just drawn by something inside him, a sound and an image, and he sees a mountain, and everything he sees reminds him of that. Now, God is actually releasing a sound and an image from heaven that's drawing us back to our destiny. And in the film, this guy is drawn to go to this place and encounter, in the film, alien life. But what God is doing is wanting us to encounter him and encounter our destiny. And, you know, in that song, in that film, there was a sequence of notes. I'm not going to sing it, but you know what it was. And it was like there was hand sequences there. Do-do-do-do-do. So on. Well, there's like that coming out of heaven right now. I can hear it. Lots of times I can hear that sequence of notes, and it has a symbol that goes with it. And the symbol that goes with it is an infinity symbol. And the infinity symbol represents eternity, back to eternity. Because our destiny came from eternity and will return to eternity, but there's a whole journey and a pathway along the way. And God is calling us to the intersection where our past and our future comes together. And, you know, I'm not going to go into any more of that now because I can go off and preach a whole message on that. I'm not going to. But we need to start resonating with that frequency. We need to let our whole body, because our whole body is something which carries frequency and can resonate to frequency. It's designed that all our organs of our body are connected to our auditory center, and therefore our body becomes something that can vibrate with that frequency, and we can hear it and feel it and experience it. And God is wanting us to do that. So it's calling us back to our heavenly destiny, to the mandate of the things that God's called us to do. Now in Genesis 1:2 it says the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And that word moving, another version it says hovering, literally it means he was vibrating. You know, movement is vibration. So the Spirit of God was vibrating over the waters, bringing the waters into the same frequency of vibration, then God said, let there be light. So when we start coming back into the frequency of God, God starts to speak and call forth things from our lives. And, you know, we are 70% water, our body. And we can start, our bodies are designed to actually vibrate. They have a frequency. Every single one of them has an individual frequency. But they need to start to come back into the resonating frequency as the Spirit of God starts to overshadow us. Because that's what happens, that overshadowing. When the Spirit of God came upon Mary, he overshadowed Mary. The same scriptural verse was used. Vibrating frequency came upon Mary, and literally Jesus was produced in her. Now, when that frequency comes on us and the Holy Spirit overshadows us, God starts to speak to us and call us forth. Call forth our destiny and who we are, and bring us back into the original purpose that he had before the foundation of the world. So he speaks into the shadow of heaven. So whenever he sees a shadow on earth, as it is in heaven, he starts to speak into it. We sang this morning about when Solomon built the temple, and they started to sacrifice in that temple. What happened? The glory cloud filled the temple, because the temple was a pattern of what was in heaven on earth, and God filled it. When our lives start to become that pattern, God starts to fill them, increase them, as the church becomes that pattern. So we need to have that overshadowing of the Spirit that we come into cooperation with and alignment and agreement with. Now we have that scroll that's come out of eternity. It carries a decree and a commission from God, the purpose and provision for our destiny. Now I've done a lot of this stuff before, so I'm just going to whip through it. We access that in the heavenlies. We can also access it within our own hearts, because that's where it is. When we were first formed and the Spirit came into us, when the first cells began to divide, the first cell that was brought about by the egg and the sperm coming together went in and became our heart. And it carries the record of our past, of our DNA, of our family and generations. But our spirit also came in, and the scroll of that destiny became part of our hearts. Now, we obviously have lost that because our spirit was not connected with God, but it is there. Matthew 6:10, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So God wants us connected with our destiny to bring heaven to earth. That's what it's about. There may be lots of things that we do, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons and all that stuff. That isn't actually our destiny. That's just the outworking of it and the practical things. Our destiny is something more than that. It's a calling. It's something to administer heaven on earth. That's what Adam was called to do. We're called to do the same thing. Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God knew us before we were formed. It says in Psalm 139:16, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance." So we had a substance, which was our spiritual destiny, before we had a physical substance. And God saw it, knew it, and we have to reconnect with it. Our destiny is to rule. That is what it's about. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, talking about Adam and Eve. God gave them and told them to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and to rule. That has always been God's intention. It's a destiny of the church to bring God's rulership from heaven to earth. So Isaiah 2:2, "The mountain of the house of the Lord is to be raised above all the other mountains and all the hills, and everything will stream to it." 1 Peter 2:9, "We are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood." Royalty, access, and has access to thrones of authority and power. Priesthood has access to the intimate things of God. And we are both. We are a royal priesthood. We can engage with God intimately, and from that place of engagement, we can bring out the authority of the King into the earth. So we start manifesting like Jesus did. He came, and all the stuff of the enemy got challenged. Sickness got challenged because he brought healing. Bondage got challenged because he brought deliverance. Everything came. All the nature and the things of nature got challenged because he brought a higher authority. Heaven is a higher authority than earth. And if we access and operate from the heavenly realms, we can change things here on earth. But we need to access it and we need to change it. Psalm 24:7, "Lift up your head, O you gates." That's talking about being lifted up to be a place of authority, and then we become a gateway from heaven to earth. That's each of our lives. So we're going to teach about how we get lifted up, how we become gates, And so the King of Glory can manifest here in this earth through us, because we're supposed to manifest his glory on the earth. Zechariah 3:6, we're going to look at this a little bit more in the future. The angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts," and this was in the presence of God in the heavenly realms, because Satan was there and angels were there. "If you walk in my ways," which we do here, "if you perform my laws," and it's not talking about the Ten Commandments, it's talking about the principles of the laws of God's kingdom, "if we do that in the kingdom of God, then we will also govern the house in the heavenly realms and have charge of the courts in heaven and be granted free access among those who are standing here." That place of standing here is in the heaven of heavens. Last week I had an encounter here where God invited me to come into the heaven of heavens and stand there in February next year. So I've got 4 months to prepare to come into that place. And I know I really do need to prepare. That is the picture of the heavenly realms, of those spheres. Kingdom of the earth with the atmosphere of the earth around it, which was given Adam to rule. He gave it to Satan, and therefore the principalities, powers, rulers, darkness, and spiritual host of wickedness are in that area, in the atmosphere, which is in darkness, but we can bring light and dispel that darkness. Then there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven and heavens, perfection, eternity. You see, everything in the Hebrew culture and understanding was circular. So what started in eternity comes into now and goes back into eternity. That's our life. Will come back into the realm of eternity. Perfection will come in to bring the government of God. Heaven of heavens will come in to bring God's heavenly domain on earth as it is in heaven. And we're called to be involved. But we need to walk in his ways. And we need to understand that the kingdom of God, which is in that realm in the heavens, is also within us. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is in us. And we have to engage with the kingdom that's within us so that we're connected to the heavenly realms to bring that to earth. We need to learn about that. We can keep the laws, rule the house, judge the courts, and have access to stand as sons in the place in the heavenly realms. Now, all this stuff might seem, whoa, this is a bit out there. Some of you are already accessing this and engaging that, as I've taught you, and you've taught yourself and learned from that, which is great. But I want everybody to be able to live in this dimension. So we're going to go back and we're going to actually enable everyone to actually learn how to do this stuff. Succession. You cannot have investiture and then enthronement without succession in the middle. So God wants to enthrone you with authority and power. He's invested with you with authority as identity as his sons. But in the middle, there's something where the old has to go. There has to be a dethronement of the old, ourself, our soul, our old life, strongholds, mindsets, belief systems, familiar spirits, generational spirits, nature, which is our DNA programming, has to be transformed. Nurture, which is our environmental programming, has to be overthrown and dethroned from our life and transformed. Trauma, which is our experiential programming, has to be transformed. And God is going to do that, and I'm going to help you by teaching you some of the things that will enable you to access that. Removing stumbling blocks from our lives. Idols and things which will trip us up, weigh us down, entangle us. It says in Hebrews about not being entangled and weighed down by every old sin. Hebrews 12. They're going to be gathering angels that are involved in this process. I've seen those gathering angels here in this meeting since November last year, and they're waiting for you to give them permission to engage with you to help you in the process of removing those things from your lives. Some of you have encountered some of them. There's going to be a lot more of that. Seraphim angels are being released from the throne of heaven, the temple, with coals from the altar of heaven to, as Isaiah said, actually he said, "Oh, I am a man of unclean lips," and a coal with a seraphim came from the altar and purged his lips. God is not just going to purge our lips, he's going to purge our hearts. So we can be transformed, transformation into the image of Jesus, so we know who we are, we know how to function, and we start ruling in authority and in power, manifest in the kingdom on heaven as in earth. Now, we need to understand our spirit and our soul to be able to do this. Genesis 1:7, "The Lord formed God from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." A living being, because the breath of life came into him. spirit, soul, body. Spirit was on the outside. That was his God consciousness first. Then, because of sin, that got changed around in the body, soul, spirit. So we became very self-conscious. That enabled us to become self-centered and selfish and world-conscious, because the world was where we were going to get all the things that God intended us to get from him from now, from the sweat of our brow. We became a human being. We were a living being. We lost that and became a human being. And most of us become human doings, because we do a whole load of things in our lives to make ourselves feel better, or to cover up, or to deal with things. God wants to change that. Now, our spirit is our innermost being, John 7. It's the very eternal essence of God who is in spirit. I'm sort of struggling right now because I keep seeing visions of stuff, which is like really difficult to get hold of. It's like, right. So I'm going to try and bring this. The eternal essence of God who is spirit. That's what God is. He is spirit. It's the source of life and light. God is light. It's where we have our God awareness. We have spiritual faculties and senses that enables the spirit to function. It's the dwelling place of God, John 14:23. When we're born again, we become a spirit being. Okay? We started out a living being, we became a human being, and then we're born again to become a spirit being. John 21:21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So just as God breathed into Adam the breath of life, Jesus breathed into the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They became born again and their life started to function again. They became a spirit being. But I don't want to remain a spirit being. I want to come back and become a living being, which is the fullness of the things that Adam would have had as a living being. And God wants to restore us and bring that back so that we are able to operate in the same dimension of authority and power as Adam did, and what Adam would have become if he hadn't have sinned. To do that, we have to build our spirit. Now, we're going to look at a little bit of this each week to and I practice it so that we can start to build our spirit. The first place of building our spirit, if we're not strong in spirit, we will not be able to overcome and dethrone the soul. So we have to be strong in spirit. First thing to do is to give God first place, first love, first priority. That's the first thing we can do to build our spirit. Pray and sing in tongues, really, really important. Wait on the Lord and be still. Meditate on the word of God, again, really, really key. Praise and adoration, how to soak in the presence of God. Actually, if we want to build our spirit, ask him. It says in James, you haven't got because you haven't asked. Or we've asked in the wrong way. We need to ask, pray and seek him. Confess and declare and call things into being. Call forth your spirit. Speak it out. Persevere. You don't build your spirit in a day. If you want muscles in the gym, you have to go in there and you have to train and train and train and train until you build muscles. It's the same with your spirit. Your spirit grows through exercise, spiritual exercises, to train and equip your spirit to grow, to connect with God, to flow in revelation, and to rule in your life. You have to persevere. Starts with a desire. It takes discipline, and then it becomes a delight. Most of us give up in the discipline part, because discipline's not very nice. It's like, I would love to have a body which was like, you know, Mr. Universe or whatever, but I have not got the discipline to go in and train myself to do it. It would take a lot of training. I want a spirit that's strong, therefore I am willing to train it. And I spend a lot of time training my spirit. Hours every day, training my spirit to discern the words of God, to flow and to build up my spiritual senses, and I want to encourage you to do the same. So we'll be looking at that. The soul. We need to deal with the soul, but we need to understand what the soul is. In other words, for soul in the Bible will be flesh, mind, or heart. It's our self-awareness. It's what enables us to be aware of who we are as a person and an individual. Galatians 5:16 says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You cannot change the soul from the outside in. You have to change it from the inside out. So you need your Spirit with the Holy Spirit to flow out to change and transform us from the inside out. Verse 17 says, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposing, in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please, or God pleases. You cannot fulfill your destiny if your soul is in charge of your life. Just can't do it. So we need to see the Spirit overcome the flesh, the soul, to be in rulership, so that the soul actually flows through the life of the Spirit, which flows through the body, around our lives to bring the glory of God and the kingdom around us. Galatians 5:22, this is the fruit of the Spirit within us. It says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's all the fruit that grows. Fruit grows. Gifts are given. We can have the gifts of the Holy Spirit given in an instant. Tongues, prophecy, miracles, healings, all those gifts can be given in an instant through laying on of hands. Fruit has to grow. Therefore, you have to nurture it. You have to look after the soil. You have to fertilize it. And it grows. Now, these are the things of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They're evident because they're seen on the outside of us in our behavior. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's really obvious the stuff that we have to overthrow in our lives, and we have to replace that with the fruit of the Spirit which grows from the inside out. We cannot change those things by our self-effort. We have to surrender them to God and allow God's Spirit to transform and change us on the inside out as we surrender. Now, how does this all work? Well, Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. This is something Jesus did. It was great. We sang that song this morning about the cross, and David brought that word about looking to the cross. We have already been crucified with Christ, past tense. When he died, we died. But we have to live in the good of that by coming through the cross. Then we can start living by the Spirit and not the flesh. We can then walk that out in our daily lives by the Spirit and not the flesh. Because the flesh profits nothing. It has no eternal value, and it has only negative value here. It's the Spirit that has value. Galatians 2:20. And this is a key scripture, and I'd encourage you to meditate on this scripture. Get it as part of your spirit so you're living this out. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So I've been crucified, past tense. I no longer live, my flesh, but Christ lives. He now rules in me. Now the life I outwork, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not even my faith. It's his faith that I'm operating by, because he loved me and gave himself up for me. Okay. Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is in you. Now I want to just go through the things that are in us so we can get a handle on how they work. The Spirit is in us, our Spirit, and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in us. The kingdom of God is in us. The seat of God's government of heaven is in us, it says. Our heart is in us, our subconscious mind. The garden, which we've been talking about, engaging God in, is in our heart. There are rivers that flow from heaven, that flow through our spirit, flow through our garden and out to the world. They're in us. And the scroll of destiny is in us. Now, there's lots of stuff there. we have to engage with and we have to understand how these things function in us so we can work with them. Now, there's a nice picture of an outline of a body. Okay, so within us, there is our heart, and within our heart is a scroll. So that's our subconscious mind. There's the seat of God's government that's within us. It says in our belly, but it's literally a place on the inside of us. We have our conscious mind. And then we have our spirit. Now, where is our spirit? Now, our spirit man lives in a membrane which goes over the brain and down our spinal column. So, how do I know that? Well, I was talking to Ian Clayton about it, that's the first thing, and then God started to speak to me about it. Because that membrane is not connected to the blood. The spinal column and that membrane over your brain is no connection to your blood supply, which is really important because your blood supply carries the record of your DNA and past generations, and it needs to be purified and cleansed and changed. So your spirit is not connected directly to your blood supply. Okay? It is connected through your heart. Now, there's a door in your spirit. This is what we've been talking about from Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand a door and knock. There is a door which is where the Father and Son and the Spirit are within your spirit, within my spirit, and we have to let them out. God won't force himself upon us. We have to open that door and we have to let him out every day into our spirit. Now, that spirit, therefore, is within us and is connected to the seat of government in our lives. Now, when we're growing in our relationship with God and we invite God to come in and fill us, he occupies that seat of government in our lives. Now, as we grow and mature, he gives us more and more access to that seat of government. So in eventually we are seated with him in the heavenly places, but the kingdom of heaven was in us. So we are also seated there in authority. So our spirit, therefore, says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7, something or other, I think 17, or 6:17, it says that he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So the more we are surrendered to the Lord and become transformed into his image, we become one spirit with him and we start to rule together. Because that's what the kingdom's about, ruling together. So that seats within us, and as we open up the door, God comes and he sits on that seat. So that seats within our spirit. Now, then we can invite him to come into our heart. So we invite him to come and change us and transform us. So he comes into our heart and we can start to reprogram our heart and the blood that's in our heart with the DNA of God. That's why we're taking communion. It's to be reprogrammed with the DNA of God to bring the life of God in us. So then that goes out from our heart to our brain and transforms our thinking, renews our mind. It goes round the body and back to the heart. Now, if you think about where does it go naturally, it goes to your lungs and picks up breath, oxygen. So in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense, our heart needs to draw life from our spirit. Go send it around the body to transform our life, then go back to the spirit for more. And that's what the heart does, and we'll look at the heart on another occasion. Okay? So as we do that, and as more of our life is on that throne, then the kingdom of heaven comes to manifest around us. Rivers of living water and anointing and power start to flow out through us. We start to walk in his ways, keep his laws, and rule. And we start to bring government. And that's just a picture of how all those things interrelate. Now, I know you might think, wow, that's a lot. Well, we're going to go back into it bit by bit to help you prepare for your destiny. But I'm just putting it all out there today as an overview. Jeremiah 17:9, we're going to look at the heart. Now, the heart, which is our soul, literally is really, really important to get hold of the heart, because the heart is key. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? So that heart needs transforming. Proverbs 3:27, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As our heart thinks will determine how we live as a person. So it's really important that our heart is programmed by our spirit and the word of God not our nature or nurture or the trauma that's happened to our lives. Matthew 12:34, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So we're called to be speaking spirits, to have authority to call things into being. It's really important that our hearts are pure, so what comes out of our mouths is a flow of the life of God. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Life comes from within our heart as it's fed with the river of life from the Spirit. Or it can be fed from the world round us. Matthew 13:19, anyone who hears the word of God of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what's been sown into his heart. Parable of the sower is talking of the soil of our heart, things that are sown there. There were stones, weeds, all sorts of stuff. When you got rid of that, it became good soil that produced an abundance of fruit. So we have to be really careful what's sown into our hearts. Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So there are things, disappointments in our lives, because we've not fulfilled our eternal destiny, that bring sickness to our heart, and God wants to restore and heal it. A desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Now I want to draw from the tree of life. It was in the garden of God, it's still in the garden of God, and we can access it today. But our hearts need to be right. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So our heart has thoughts and intentions, and we need to be able to know what is motivating us, so that we can only be motivated like Jesus was by the things that God was doing. We're going to learn how to do that. Jeremiah 31:33, I put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. Not talking about the Ten Commandments, talking about the law of the kingdom and the principles of the kingdom. I will be their God and they will be my people. So it's really important what's written in our hearts. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you desires and secret petitions of your heart. Now I want the desires of my heart to be the desires that God has for me, which is written on my scroll. I do not want it to be the desires that have shaped me, have come from my past generations or from the experiences of life. I want it to come from the scroll that's in my heart. Therefore I need my heart transformed and changed so my desires become his desires. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters, talking about intimacy of relationship that we can have with God. He restores my soul. He restores my heart. He restores it. He brings it back into its original purpose. He guides me in paths of righteousness, the things that God's written about me that I'm to outwork. He leads me according to those paths. But we have to engage with God and allow him to restore our soul. Now, this picture, which is comes from heaven, is on a scroll that was written in heaven, given to Ian Clayton to describe how we can start operating in the kingdom of God, starts with the glory of God, God's presence on the inside of us. So we open that door of first love, it flows out in our spirit and develops our spiritual senses, and then flows out through our soul and transforms our soul, and then flows out through our body, ultimately bringing a manifestation of the transfiguration where the light of God's glory will shine through us. We will be looking at this, and I will help you and encourage you how you can work this through. So, our soul gates, what are they? Well, let's look at our spirit gates first, I think. Oh, is this first? No, soul gates. Our soul gates, what is the stuff that's in our soul that we need to look at? Our conscience, reason, imagination, our conscious mind, our subconscious mind, our emotions and our will. What are they? Our conscience, the ears of our heart, is our protector and our director. It's the guard and a guide. So our conscience will keep us from wrong things and direct us to good things. Reason, the voice of reason is not what we reason and try and work it out with intellect. This is being able to translate and interpret the words of God that are spoken to us, to understand and to explain God's word as he speaks to us. But also the eyes of our heart, our imagination. Absolutely key that we develop our imagination, our Western culture and education system has trained us out of our imagination. Our imagination was given to us by God so we could see what he was doing. See visions, see dreams, see the heavenly realms in that place in our imagination, the eyes of our heart. We have to see them growing and developing. Now, our heart, our subconscious mind, our emotions and our will, our mind is where the storage programs are. Our memories, the word of God and belief systems are stored. It's like the hard drive of a computer. Everything is stored there, motives, beliefs, values, and we'll look into this in much more detail in the future. Our emotions are where our responses and our feelings are, where we're moved in our guts, where we get those gut feelings. Our will is where persistence and courage can come from, also stubbornness and rebellion, but we'll look at the positive things. Boldness and endurance come as our will is transformed. Now, this is where all those things are flowing with the life of God and transformed. At the moment, most of them aren't like that. So we have to see a transforming process. Everything comes up and builds up to one thing. What will we choose to do? So everything within our soul points up to our conscious mind and what will we choose to do? Will we choose to do what Jesus would do? That's the choice. Will we choose to do what Jesus will do? Or will we choose to do what our own flesh tells us to do? Now, for that to take place, we need to be flowing in the Holy Spirit. And next week, we'll look a little bit more about our spiritual senses and what those are. And I just want to finish off with a couple of pictures that sort of sum this up. This is what we were like when we weren't born again. We had a soul. Our heart had natural needs. It had a body of flesh, which it got most of those natural needs through. And it had a spirit, which was dead to God. Separated. Therefore, Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Because we're separated from God, our soul had no option but to try and fulfill its needs. So it drew those needs from the world. Love, acceptance, security, significance, and purpose, we all have a built-in need for those things. But we get them from the world. As a result of that, damage takes place in our soul, in our heart. Hurt, pain, rejection, insecurity, fear, disappointment, guilt, shame, all those things are in our heart. Then we get born again, and suddenly we've got access. Our spirit is alive to God now. And we start to get acceptance, purpose, security from him. But we still have it from the world, and we got it from him. So we have to transfer where we draw our revelation and where we get our experience of acceptance and love from what we've used to be doing in the world around us, to God who's on the inside of us. And now we start looking inwards to God, not outwards to the world. And as we do that, as we're transformed, restored in our soul, then God deals with that damage. We don't need that stuff in the world. And then we can then start to manifest through our body the things that flow from the spirit, literally being transfigured. Another way of looking at that is our spirit. We're born again. We've got the Father and the Son and the Spirit in us. The glory of God's in us. We have these spiritual senses that start to get developed. We start to know God's love. We get access to the heavenly realms, which enables that to be multiplied and to outwork in our lives. Then our soul senses start to get developed, and then we start to manifest around us the glory of God. Deliverance, works of Jesus, miracles, supernatural things, healing, greater works, signs and wonders. All that stuff starts to flow out through our lives. But there's a blockage. There's a blockage between our spirit and the heavenly realms, because no one ever taught us we could go there. In fact, most people say you can't go there. So that's a blockage. There's a blockage between our soul and our spirit, because our soul is used to being in control. There's usually a blockage between our soul and our body, stopping God doing it. So as we're transformed, these blockages get removed. Our spirit and soul start to work together. We start to feel God's love, not just know God's love, which is really important. And we start to access the heavenly realms, which leads, again, all the manifestations of God's kingdom through our lives around us in the world to be transfigured, so we can express God's love. You know, it's okay to know the love of God, but we need to feel it. and then we need to express it around. And basically, that sort of sums it all up. The new birth, the DNA of God is in our spirit. We've got access to the fountain of life. We've got access to our destiny. We're a dwelling place of God. Through relationship, our spirit now needs to produce the fruit and the gifts, comes through the garden of our soul, so that actually our whole life is manifest in God's glory. So we've got access to the kingdom of God within us and the kingdom of God in the heavenly realms. And as those start to move, then our life gets transformed. And that's really easy, isn't it? It's giving you a lot of information. Now, the key to this, and this is what I'll finish with, practice. You have to practice to train your senses. You have to practice how you transform your soul. Hebrews 5:14 says, the solid food is for the mature. How you become mature? Because you've practiced. You have your senses trained. So we have to train our spiritual senses. We have to train our soul senses to be connected up with the kingdom of God in heaven to outwork on earth. So we are going to do that over the next few months. We're going to train our senses. We're going to train our soul senses. And we're going to actually see transformation take place, because you've been invested with authority, but you have to come into that place of succession so you can be enthroned to bring God's kingdom to heaven, from heaven to earth. So we have to dethrone the soul. Now, that's not an easy process, but you can do it. We can all do it, because we are supposed to be able to do it with God and the Spirit working together. Now, one of the biggest things is we need a connection with the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. So we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we need to be able to speak in tongues, because tongues is a major flow of the life of God which was within us. And it builds up an environment around us which draws the presence of God, so God comes and fills that presence. So we want to pray for people today. If you, for instance, are not connected with your destiny at all, you do not know God, then God wants you to know him by experience and encounter. So if you've never known God by experience and encounter, I want to encourage you to come up to the front and let someone pray with you. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've not spoken in tongues, I encourage you, come up to the front, and the ministry team, we're going to pray with you, because we need to get you in that place where your spirit can be built up, because your spirit needs to engage God so that your soul can be transformed, so that the kingdom of God can be manifested through you. So we're going to do that, give you an opportunity to come if you'd like to come. If you need prayer for anything else in terms of healing, it was great, we were singing about healing and looking to Jesus. If you need physical healing, again, ministry team are here to minister into that physical healing. Amen.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.